On the Clazy Matt and Kimber catch up, what are we into at the moment? Scary plane moments and the great man, Dennis Cometti.
Switching on Clazy Matt and Kimber for a laugh in the morning is easy. And switching to Clean Heat to save on your natural gas bills is easy too.
Clazy Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
Big news, of course, the AirAsia X flight that was heading to KL has returned to Perth after engine trouble. I say engine trouble, one engine was gone.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, when you hear these reports, you don't normally get to see the vision. And this was vision of the entire plane shuddering for the 80 minutes it took them to return to Perth.
And fortunately, they got home, but it would have been so scary.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to know what it's been like. What was your scariest plane moment? Kelly in Mouchet, what's it been like for you?
Well, I was going to Perth to Canberra, and before we hit Canberra, the turbulence hit, and it's the second time I've been on a plane, and I panicked. I was in tears, and the lady next to me was, she flies all the time. She's like, oh, it's never been this bad, so I'm feeling even worse. And she's being sick, and I thought, oh, my God, I just had crap food, and I'm single, and I'm going to die. I just thought the worst.
Oh, we were just talking about that. My friend was on this AirAsia flight, and she said, oh, she felt sorry for the men around her who were single, solo flyers and didn't have anyone to help, like, hold the hand of.
Yes.
There's something about being there on your own when you're flying, isn't it, Kelly?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Well, and I tell you what, Kelly, it's the hardest time to pick up is when a plane's in big trouble like that. You know, you don't want some single guy coming up to a single woman going, hi, look, we might be going down here. Would you mind if I sat next to you? It's not going to work.
Mile High Club?
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, glad you're okay.
It affects people differently too, because people who know about planes know that what turbulence is, so they don't panic.
Yes, so I'm not bothered by turbulence.
Yeah, I've got a nephew who's like that. It just goes, I know what turbulence is about, and it's generally pretty, but this one's different when it's an engine gone.
Yeah, you keep your eye on the hosties, and if they look like they're just bored at work, then they're bored at work. If they look panicked, that's when I'm edging.
And apparently on this flight, you could tell the staff, the hosties looked very nervous.
There's pools of sweat.
Yes.
Yeah. Phil's in Alexander Heights. Phil, what was your scariest moment on a plane?
There you go, guys. Yeah, we're flying FIFO back from Crafter to Perth, and particularly windy day, getting a lot of crosswind, and you know, the plane was rocking as we're heading toward the runway. And the pilot ended up getting flat and level, you know, about 50 metres off the ground. So I thought, oh, yeah, cool, the worst of it's over. As it got to about 20, 30 metres off the ground, got another massive crosswind. And from where I was sitting, I could see the left wing tip. And I swear it was no less than 2 metres off the runway.
Oh, man.
I had the plane down, and he goes over the freeway. Oh, that was pretty interesting. And, that was it. But that was pretty scary.
Oh, that is.
That moment where you think, I've made it through the whole flight until now.
Oh.
It's everyone else is feeling the same, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. They're very skilled, aren't they? I mean, because you see the plane going off the straight. Too right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
It's like watching Red Bull races. You notice their skill right at the last second.
Oh, yeah.
To Seville Grove. G'day, Sam.
Hey.
Hey, Sam. What was your story about the scariest plane moment?
Last year, me and a few friends were on our way to New York via Hong Kong. Mm. And a few hours into our flight, it was a midnight flight, we were just about to get to sleep, and then we heard this huge bang and this gust of fire sparks thing, and we looked outside the window on the right, and the engine had blown up.
Oh no.
Okay.
All the lights went dark, the air hostess were running up and down the aisle. We were just in shock, and then we had to make an emergency landing in Bali. Like, we had to glide our way down through Bali.
Right.
But where they had fire engines just sitting there waiting for us. But then they made us sit on the tarmac for another 2 hours to investigate the plane instead of getting us off the plane.
Yeah.
And then we had to wait in Bali for a whole day to get another flight via Korea. And in the Korea plane, we were about to take off, and then the plane just came to a sudden halt because of engine failure.
Oh, Sam, so, I'm not getting on a plane with you.
I was like, are you serious?
That's wild. Imagine when you're actually coming down for the landing and you're just like crossing your fingers and you look down, you see all the fire engines. It's like a Bruce Willis movie, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I thought of Con Air straight away.
Absolutely.
They know something that I don't know?
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, like, this is not normal. All right, thank you so much.
Cheers,
thanks,
bye.
Clazy, Matt and Kimber, weekdays from 6 a.m.
on Mix 94.5.
Okay, I've discovered an unlikely obsession over the weekend.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, the three of us, we talk a lot about what shows we're into, what yep. sort of things we're listening to, what we're reading, yep. stuff like that, because we like to give each other a few tips on great things that are out there.
Movies, TV, jamming it in a weekend, podcasts, you name it.
Well, this became an obsession, okay? I've got Netflix, Stan, and all that jazz, and I stumbled across a show that I became obsessed over on the weekend. I've watched 22 episodes.
Mm. 22 episodes?
You're about to be judged. You realise that, don't you?
A world record?
22?
Look, the reason I'm most surprised about watching 22 episodes is that I just didn't think I would like the show this much.
Right. Can you please not say the Brady Bunch?
It's Penn and Teller. Fooler.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No,
now,
no.
Now, Penn and Teller have been one of the greatest magician pairings in Vegas for years.
Yes.
Right. They've been around a long time. And Fool Us is basically they get ordinary magicians from all over the world who come in and they perform tricks for Penn and Teller. And if Penn and Teller cannot guess how they did the trick, these guys get an opening night at Penn and Teller's gig in Vegas.
Yes. Yep.
So it's like a great opportunity to get your magic out there. A, I can't believe how many magicians there are in the world.
Oh, there are a lot. Yeah.
It is incredible. B, I cannot get over how much I loved this show. Like,
how much of a worry you are.
22 episodes. The only reason I couldn't watch anymore is because that's all that there is in the second season.
Right.
There isn't
Has
anymore.
Has it inspired you to become more magical? Are you going to start like doing tricks and working on card tricks in front of me?
No, because the thing is I love magic. I don't like to know how it's done. Right. You know what I mean? So like what I like about Penn and Teller is that they don't really explain to you how it's done while they're watching the trick. They just kind of talk in magic.
They talk code, don't they?
They talk code.
And usually the other magician goes, yes, you do know how I did it, but we as the audience don't understand what they've said.
Was it Penn or Teller who got his head bitten by the lion? Oh, sorry. No, that was Siegfried and Roy. Sorry. Wrong guys.
Close, same people.
Close. I think the thing is, though, I don't know whether I'm giving you a great recommendation or not. Like, normally I really stand here and back it and go,
yeah,
you should see this show. It's brilliant.
You got a bit obsessed.
Yeah, but I kind of implore you to go and watch Penn and Teller Fool Us and see if you like it. But it's not your top quality drama that I would normally recommend.
No, or you know, comedy.
I mean, have you got anything that you want to throw out in my direction?
No, I need some stuff, so I'll take that on board. I'm locked in a PlayStation 2 time warp at the moment.
Are you really?
It's not healthy.
Yeah, but are you
games
winning?
Well, I am.
Does it make you feel better if you're winning your gaming?
This is the problem, Claire, is that my life is going nowhere far. And the fact that I took Barcelona to a European Cup championship shouldn't give me the amount of joy that it does.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, there is.
Speaking of joy, for the birthday, I got a book called Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Okay.
Right? So it's a New York Times bestseller. I've already gotten my nose into it and I can't stop picking this book up.
Ah.
So this guy, Phil Knight, 1962, borrowed $50 from his old man, started selling good quality Japanese running shoes from the boot of his car.
Right.
Phil Knight is Mr. Nike. He's worth $25 billion now.
Ah.
And I'm just getting addicted to this book. I actually also want to read it to see if part of his billions of dollars, his fortune, is because of slave labor, and then I can burn the book at the end.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm actually very, very curious.
I mean, are those good quality sneakers that they're selling out of the back of the boot still as good as what they were then?
I don't know.
They always are good quality out the back of the boot, aren't
they? Yeah, I've got the runners on, so that's worth a look, and I'll tell you more later.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, there you go. We've given you magic and shoes.
Yeah,
and some PlayStation 2.
Some retro gaming.
Claire's Matt and Kimber, weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5. Oh, what a beauty. Talking footy with Dennis Cometti for Automasters.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
This fascinating AFL season, so even, anyone can win from any position. Dennis Cometti, good to see you, Dan.
Good morning, guys.
Bit of a shame to have two losses on the weekend.
Well, yes, agonising.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yep,
well,
true.
I want to ask you about this because Ross Lyon said that in terms of Michael Walters at the end of the game there, Ross said it was a step in the right direction, but in the end, all I know is we had an opportunity to win the game with the last kick of the game. Now, I feel like that is too much pressure on one player. They all had a responsibility to kick a bunch more throughout the entire game.
Yeah,
It up to the dude who does it in the last second and misses?
You sound like my mum when I used to miss one when I was playing at West Perth. But that's good. I like that defence. Well, look, he'd get 8 out of 10, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So,
true.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to Walters, obviously. But the coach says things in the heat of battle too or immediately after. And He sees it in black and white. He should have kicked the goal and probably in that situation would kick 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10.
True.
It wasn't a hard one, but he knew the responsibility when he got the footy, I guess, too. He knew it was running down. So you can make a case for both of them. In the end, it was just a tough loss, but a terrific effort.
Yeah, it was.
And I got the impression when they picked that team the other night, now Fife has been battling injury for some time. They left him out. I don't know the circumstances other than it looked like they didn't really think they had a great chance of winning.
Sure.
And they weren't prepared to take Fife. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I just thought the team was picked with that in mind. I thought one of the big things to come out of it, Sean Darcy.
Yeah, he's a good
terrific,
young 19-year-old.
So suddenly there's pressure on Aaron. The next contract mightn't be as big. Of course it will be. But you've got somebody in the wings anyway, and that's great for them.
Yeah, well, Sean Darcy's a young fella from that area of Geelong, and he's 19, and John Griffin puts a lot of pressure on him to try and get back into the team.
So Ross was able to take a lot of positives out of that performance. Adam Simpson, can he take positives out of that performance?
Well, they're a bit stiff. I mean, Josh Kennedy is a big out. It makes you think they named him the week after he got hurt. That was about, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yes, it was, yeah.
They should be fine for that. Really? That's strange because it affects a lot of things. But having said that, I guess it's a great tactical weapon to put him in because people plan for him. But they were outrun and out-tackled in the end. I think I saw in that game one of the best, most inspiring games I've seen from an individual.
Yep.
He wasn't, unfortunately, a West Coast Eagle. He was Jack Viney of Melbourne.
Yeah.
I thought he played a wonderful game. I haven't seen many guys go in that hard. It was sort of a combination of Selwood and Voss at their finest, almost, dare I say it, reaching towards Matthews.
Oh, wow. Lee Matthews.
That's as much as I can say.
Lethal Lee.
We're talking.
I'm guessing he's a pretty big deal.
He's the greatest of all.
Lethal.
Lee Matthews.
That's a big, and Viney was injured, Dan. He's had it looked like he'd had a needle.
Yes,
come back
yes. Well, he missed most of the third quarter with a needle, and it was strapping, and they were looking at him and checking him and pulling his arm, and he came back out. He finished with a career-high 38 possessions and spent probably 15, 20 minutes off the ground in that third quarter. But the way he attacked the ball was the difference in the game, I think. He set the tone for Melbourne, and they followed him right to the hilt.
And Tom McDonald, the defender turned forward, a great goal under pressure. That was the difference, wasn't it?
How did he stand up? There's a man clinging from him.
Yeah.
And on one leg, and he kicks a goal. How does that work, Kimber?
I don't know.
A man clinging from you, and you manage to get a kick
get
away.
Get a kick away.
Well, I don't know. The thing is, you've got to multitask. We've got to have your hands full and be able to achieve other tasks at the same time.
He did that. He did that. He hurt the West Coast Eagles. A normal man would have just crumpled to the deck
quietly.
Well,
he's being slung by the Eagles' best player, arguably, at the moment. That's McGovern.
Yes, and a strong man.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he stayed up.
Football fans right now would be happy, and just this far into the season with it being so hard to predict, maybe it's just provided plenty of office fodder. Lots of people get to go to work and have a chat about what happened because nothing's really cut and dry anymore this season.
Yeah, you can say that, but as a tipster who tips publicly, you can't go, out on the street anymore.
It's embarrassing.
Can I ask you a quick one?
Yes.
The Malcolm Blight speech about the rugbyfication of the game.
Yes.
Where do you? I agree with him.
I agree with him entirely. Yeah. Yeah. He sort of spoke about a lot of things, and I think with a lot of poignancy.
Yes.
I really like what he says about football. Have for a long time, but there may be a change in footy. Just watching Melbourne play, that was different. And Essendon are playing the same way. To break what has been sort of the tool for victory over the last decade, teams are looking for something different, and they may have found it, this quick release. They've had some slingshot football in the past, but this was actually really calculated. Some of that handball by Melbourne on, what was it, Saturday night.
Oh,
it's a big weekend.
Yeah, it is.
On Saturday night, I thought it was just outstanding under pressure. When you're tired and you're running that hard as they were, probably 30, 40 metres at full tilt and thinking your way through things as they did to beat the West Coast, that was really something. West Coast still in the style of perhaps yesterday. There is a new style coming, and I, for one, am very glad about that.
Yeah, and Melbourne, to do that without Nathan Jones there, he's right at the heart of their engine room, was extraordinary. Dan, unusual season, incredible season. And to think that, you would probably say Brisbane and North Melbourne aren't going to play finals. But other than that, the way it is, with all of those other teams on 5, 6 or 7 wins, any of them could still play finals.
Well, I've said this so often, it's a remarkable game, footy. It's so free form. It goes for 2 hours. You're never guaranteed possession of the ball. And we get finishes like we have.
Yeah.
We've had 16 by 3 points or less this season, so it's on world record pace. Now, we've got equalisation, I think, in terms of the cashed up clubs now. There aren't the cashed up super clubs that used to be.
Yep.
And we've got an uncompromised draft. I think after GWS and the Suns, it's settling down. But that still doesn't explain what is just a remarkable thing that makes it the most exciting, pulsating game in the world. There's no question about that.
Mm.
And the fastest. Maybe we need to slow it down a bit, but at that hell-bent speed we saw on Saturday night.
Yep.
Saturday night, I got it. That is really something. So it's a very exciting spectacle.
Mm. And you've got players in the comp at the end of games being interviewed saying, how good's footy? That's not bad.
They're saying that, aren't they? Well, how good is it? They got a rise last week of 20%.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
What I'm talking about.
Very happy. Of course. For Automasters, get centimetre perfect service and repairs at any of their 42 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Good to see you, Dan.
Yeah, you too.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au.
Now, the moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, over the weekend I watched Lion King with my niece, and it made me think, you know, what did the Lion King tell Simba when he was walking too slow?
What?
Mufasa.
Well, there's another Clancy, Matt and Kimber podcast, done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5. Switching on Clancy, Matt and Kimber comes with plenty of rewards. Switching to Clean Heat comes with rewards too. New and existing customers enjoy a 20% discount on natural gas.